It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, it's Food Friday, and we'll get some great recipes for bread making and find out what to do with all that delicious bread.
First, this weekend marks the 100th day of Donald Trump's presidency, one of the most symbolic days for a new administration. For most presidents, the early days in the Oval Office mark a honeymoon phase when there are high approval ratings and supporters are often excited about a candidate-turned-president's new initiatives.
But the 2016 election was different. Both Trump and his opponent, Hillary Clinton, had low approval ratings, and analysts did not expect either to have a honeymoon phase if elected. Right now, Donald Trump's approval rating is roughly 40%. That's much lower than President Bush and President Obama's approval ratings in their first 100 days, which were both over 60%.
Elizabeth Sherman is an assistant professor of American politics at American University's School of Public Affairs. She joins us now for a look at President Trump's first 100 days in office. Elizabeth, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Glad to be with you.
Let's look at those approval ratings after just shy now of 100 days. Why are they where they are?
Well, I think the main reason is because when President Trump came into office, as you said, he had low approval ratings in the beginning, but certainly both candidates had. But he hasn't really done much to improve his approval ratings, which is surprising. Since the inauguration, where he made a lot of very powerful promises, you know, he said that day that we're going to have great schools, safe neighborhoods, good jobs are going to be coming back, and we're going to share the wealth that hasn't been shared. And so, you know, it was an opportunity to reach out to the people who didn't support him on Inauguration Day. That's typically what presidents do. But he really didn't do that. He didn't say, you know, we are one country, let's all come together, or he didn't make any gestures following that. I mean, it seems as though he's really stuck with his base, as you said, about 40%, and they're staying with him, although I think it's worth remembering, Rob, that when you look at those polls of the 40%, half of them strongly approve of Donald Trump, and that's, you know, that's his hardcore base. But the other half only somewhat approve. And I think the people that have left and say, you know, they're not approving, they don't like the way he's been governing, a lot of them are the independents.
And let's talk about this 100-day milestone. It is a nice round number, but it is just a number. Is there some worth, though, 3 months-ish into a president's term to take stock of how things are going so far?
Well, I think it is a good time to do that because it's the American tradition. So, like it or not, every president has to face that 100-day mark. You know, Franklin Roosevelt kind of laid it down, and all the presidents since, for good or ill, have had to, you know, cope with it. I think, as you said, the politics for Donald Trump have been very, very difficult. He's faced, you know, a lot of difficulty. Certainly the Russia probe, there have been huge demonstrations. I think the Women's March was the biggest demonstration in history. So, you know, he's seen his opposition, but as I said, rhetorically and every other way, even on policy, he hasn't reached out. On public policy, I think there's a lot to be desired. He's certainly pivoted to tax reform in the last week. He's rolled out a big tax plan. The health care plan didn't go very far. They were counting on that because that would have meant a huge tax cut with the end of Obamacare of about $1 trillion, and they were hoping, you know, to use that money for this big, gigantic tax cut that they've just rolled out. That, you know, remains to be seen. I think this is a president who obviously has never been involved in politics and government, has always been, you know, in the real estate business, and I think he's learning the hard way. Again, as Roosevelt said, the president proposes, but the Congress disposes, and so far they have not been particularly willing to go along with some of his demands. And as you probably know, he did send his aides to Capitol Hill to make demands, to tell them, this is not a debate. You will vote the way we want you to. That didn't sit well.
Talking to Elizabeth Sherman from American University about President Trump's first 100 days in office. Elizabeth, the presidency, a job unlike any other. Anybody coming into this gig is going to have a learning curve. How do the early days of the Trump administration, both for the president and his team, stack up to some previous recent administrations?
Oh, I think, you know, much, much worse. Most presidents do try to reach out to the other side and bring the country together. And this is typically the honeymoon period when they get favorable press. But pretty much right out of the gate, we had all of these problems with his national security advisor. All these revelations almost from the beginning about the contacts between his aides and the Russians, and apparently there was a lot of evidence that that there was Russian meddling in the election, very much in favor of President Trump. Now, whether or not his campaign was involved with that, I don't know, but it's been an ongoing probe, and I think that's Representative Nunez said, this is a dark cloud over this administration, so that's been tough. I think on health care, it was a debacle from the beginning. It looked as though the Republicans were just not ready for prime time. Certainly the House of Representatives was not able to get united. And people were, I think, very stunned. It only takes a simple majority in the House to do anything, and they couldn't come together on a repeal and replace, with the replace being really hard. The thing about it is that Donald Trump said, I'm going to focus on the working men and women, the forgotten men and women, as he said. We're going to have good schools. We're going to end crime. We're going to bring all the jobs back. We're going to have infrastructure, as he said in his inauguration. We're going to have highways and tunnels and bridges and airports and railways. They're all going to be new, and this is going to be fantastic. We're going to rebuild our country. But what have we seen? The health care bill didn't go anywhere. And I think it's worth remembering, Rob, that Obamacare was really just designed for a pretty small proportion of the American people, about that 20% who didn't have insurance. I mean, we have 110 million who are, either on Medicare or Medicaid or some other regular government program. 55% of all Americans are covered by their employers. So it's just this one little group that need insurance. And, they haven't been able to figure out a way to provide insurance for them that's affordable. That's a tough project. It looks like they tried to push it too soon, too early. Now they have a giant tax cut that's going to benefit, the top 5% or so, and it's going to be a huge $4 trillion tax cut that they proposed, mostly that money will go to the corporations. So I think a lot of Americans are beginning to wonder, well, what happened to the big project to rebuild America? What about all the jobs coming back? They're trying to make the argument that tax cuts to the big corporations eventually will trickle down and reach the people who are struggling and the people who don't have jobs, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that's a very complicated argument. I think a lot of people are surprised.
I want to jump in and get to another signature issue for the president. One of the big applause lines really from the campaign trail, the wall on the border with Mexico. Here's a clip of him, President Trump, talking about plans for the wall in an interview shortly after the inauguration. This is with ABC's David Muir.
Are you going to direct U.S. funds to pay for this wall? Will American taxpayers pay for the wall?
Ultimately, it'll come out of what's happening with Mexico. We're going to be starting those negotiations relatively soon, and we will be in a form reimbursed by Mexico, which I've always said.
So they'll pay us back?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Yes.
So the American taxpayer will pay for the wall at first?
All it is we'll be reimbursed at a later date from whatever transaction we make from Mexico.
Now, the funding for the wall looks like is dropped from this continuing resolution to keep the government open.
Right.
Basically, this was an issue I imagine Donald Trump supporters were definitely looking for quick action on.
Of course they were. But on the other hand, I think even his supporters recognized that was going to be kind of hard to do. It was going to be symbolic, and you know, if it doesn't get built, I'm not so sure they're going to be so furious. Of course, you know, it symbolizes the promise that we're keeping those people out, and we're going to round them up. We're going to get tough on immigration, and I think his hardcore supporters have to be very delighted. I mean, it looks like ICE and the immigration authorities are picking people up if they are not illegal immigrants, and there's no path now to any kind of legality for them. You know, it looks like they're getting very, very tough on the deportation force that he promised. You know, whether he can push through that wall, I don't know. But again, Rob, very, very divisive. Very, very divisive issues he's pushing here. He continues to just exacerbate that divisiveness in the country. I think it's thrilling for those who are his supporters. But on the other hand, you know, it's unusual to see a president who, you know, just sort of maintains that antagonism right through his administration.
Talking to Elizabeth Sherman, assistant professor of American politics at American University. We're talking about President Trump's presidency so far, just ahead of his 100th day in office.
You can join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234 or by posting on the Central Time Facebook page. Tell us what you think of President Trump's performance in his first 100 days. If you voted for Donald Trump, are you pleased with the job that he's done so far? And what did you think of the executive orders that he signed? You can call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up the conversation now with Elizabeth Sherman, assistant professor of American politics at American University's School of Public Affairs, talking about President Trump's 100 days in office. We hit that mark this weekend.
And we'd love to hear from you on this at 800-642-1234 or on the Central Time Facebook page. What grade would you give President Trump on his first 100 days in office? What do you think of his efforts around policy promises like immigration and health care and jobs? You can tell us your thoughts on his cabinet appointees, too. And if you chose to vote for Donald Trump, now President Trump, we want to hear what you think. Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go right to our callers. Harry is on the line in Burlington. Harry, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening, and I'm always unable to call because I'm listening from work, but I'd just like to say that I voted for Donald Trump not because I expected him to be able to do everything that he said he wanted to do, but I feel he's a man of integrity. He will at least attempt to keep his word. I don't agree with everything, but I get tired of listening to people rip on him when I think he's a leader. He'll stand up and do what he believes to be right because it's right, regardless of what other people say about him, and I'm proud of him.
And Harry, I wanted to ask, I've heard some Donald Trump supporters say, hey, look, he is trying to do the stuff he promised to do, and Congress, his allies in Congress and the Democrats are blocking some of the agenda. Do you point some of the blame that way?
Absolutely. People are playing the politics game, and I think he has the courage to do things on the world stage that have needed to be done for a long time, and our leaders have not done it because it'll affect their, you know, people voting for him or not. And I just give the man a lot of credit. He's got a tough job, and I think he's going to do a good job.
Harry, thanks a lot for the call. And Elizabeth, we hear this a lot in terms of people supporting Donald Trump. He's not like other politicians. He's going to say, do what he says he's going to do, and they appreciate that, win or lose.
No, you know, I completely agree with the caller. I think that, you know, he said he was going to do a lot of different things. I don't think people are saying, you know, he's a bad person, and look, he's been, you know, he's not doing his job, or he's lazy, or he's not a person of integrity. I think what he has done is he has said, you know, we're going to ban people from coming from these countries. We're going to build the wall. We're going to get very aggressive with North Korea. We're going to repeal and replace Obamacare and these sorts of things. Now, people have a lot of problems with him, for example, on environmental policy. you know, he's just saying he's going to be opening up all these areas for more drilling. He's, you know, he's going to get away from the clean power plan. You know, he doesn't believe in global warming. I think where people are opposed to Donald Trump is right there on the policy issues. And that's what politics is all about. As your caller said, you know, people play the politics game. They certainly do, because politics is nothing more than means to an end. It's only about having power to push through the policies you believe in. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to push through the policies he believes in. He's had a lot of pushback on the right in the Congress. And, of course, he's had pushback on the left, but that's what politics is all about, pushback, because people believe in public policies. And that's why a lot of people are opposed to him. And that's really the bottom line, public policy.
Harry, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go next to Doug in Adams Friendship. Doug, hi.
Hi. I had 2 points. I'm going to try and make it quick. One, Donald Trump's a businessman, so he's used to being the boss. He's used to running the business. He's used to telling everybody else how it's going to be. And that doesn't work in the way our government's set up. Second thing is if you are a business-type person with a business mind your whole life, business and government typically are at odds with each other, especially when it has to do with involvement over regulation. So why would you take a person who's been at odds with the government and put them in charge of it? Anyways, those are my 2 points.
Doug, thanks for the call. And yeah, that's something people have talked about, Elizabeth. The mm-hmm. new skills in the private sector as the boss of a company translate into the give and take of presidential politics.
Well, I think it's very tough for him because, you know, he has been the head of the Trump Organization, which is basically a family business in real estate. And, you know, he's the big boss, and he's been able to tell people and what he says goes. And as I said before, the way our system, our constitutional system is set up, as your caller said, the president doesn't really have that much power. You know, he's certainly in a position to say, here are the things I'm for, and recommend to Congress. And as a matter of fact, the Constitution says he is required to make a recommendation to Congress about what policies he favors. But they write the laws, they debate it, and debate is what we're supposed to have. Everyone's supposed to have, you know, their say if they're from Wisconsin or Florida or Maine or Montana or wherever they're from. Our representatives are the ones who make the laws, and sometimes they do to the liking of the president, and sometimes they don't. And that's the way this is. I mean, we set up, the founders set up the system so that the Congress would be in charge. I mean, people may not like it that way, but that's our system, and so far we're sticking to it.
Thanks a lot for the call. We're talking to Elizabeth Sherman from American University, marking this weekend's milestone, 100 days of the Trump administration. Back to our callers. Sam is on the line in Appleton. Sam, hi.
Hi, Elizabeth. Thanks for your time today. I'm wondering how you think that Trump is doing running the government like a business. He said that a lot through his campaign, and he really pushed the idea that he's a businessman. He's going to run the government as a business. How do you think he's doing with some of the jobs that need to be filled still, or is that normal? And how do you think he's doing with meetings?
Well, I think one of the issues about running a business is that you want to stay in the black, don't you? And I think that this this new tax plan is going to cost $4 trillion. Now the question is, if you're going to cut $4 trillion out of the federal budget, that's a big, gigantic expenditure, and that's going to be tax cuts, for the corporations and for the top 5%. The claim is that they're going to create jobs somewhere along the line down the road. But in the meantime, what are you going to cut then out of the budget? Are you going to cut the military budget? Are you going to cut Social Security? Are you going to cut Medicare, education? What is going to be cut? Because you certainly don't want to be running your government in the red. And I think Americans are concerned about that deficit and that debt. And I think they look at this tax plan and they have to say, this is not the way a businessman, would propose a budget.
Sam, thanks for that call. We'll stay in Appleton. Butch is on the line. Butch, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
I'm 100% in support of Donald Trump. I voted for him. I agree with just about everything he's done so far. And as far as his new tax plan, I was a business owner for 42 years. And if I had a chance to cut my tax rate and increase my business because of it, I'd buy more equipment, I'd hire more employees. He's on the right track.
Butch, thanks for the call. And that's the hope, of course, of a major tax cut like this, Elizabeth, boosting the economy and referring back to the whole supply side idea.
Right.
We're hearing more of that lately, that ultimately it could help pay for itself.
I know, but the caller also has to recognize that, you know, to have a tax cut of that magnitude, that means that $4 trillion has to be cut out of also on the spending side. So we just have to come up with all the elements on the spending side and say, where will the spending be cut? And I think those line items have to be identified on the spending side. You know, the other thing that I would say is that more and more people are in low-income jobs. About 50% of Americans are either in low-income or very low-income jobs, or poor or elderly. And, you know, those might be the customers for your caller. I think they certainly are the customers who, you know, go into Macy's or go into CVS or wherever they're going to the grocery store. They're paying their rent or their mortgage. What we do see is that incomes are way down. As a matter of fact, incomes have not appreciably grown, if you can believe this, holding for inflation, since 1970. I think businesses thrive when businesses have customers. And I think the hard-pressed Americans in this country are the ones who really need to be thinking about good jobs at good wages. And the businesses have been doing very well. Profits are way, way, way up. The stock market is booming. But we're not seeing the investment. We're not seeing those. We're seeing the factories still closing. The jobs still going overseas. Automation is displacing people all over the country. And I think Donald Trump has to have a plan for that.
Butch, thanks a lot for the call. And Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely, Rob. I've enjoyed it.
We've been talking to Elizabeth Sherman, Assistant Professor of American Politics at American University's School of Public Affairs. She joined us to talk about Donald Trump's presidency so far as we come up on his 100th day in office. And still time for you to share your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page.